Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hey, I want you to know, my wife and I were in you know, Australia at the President's Conference, which is the C3 Global Conference. There's about 522, I think, or 527 churches all over the world, C3 churches. So we're a part of something pretty phenomenal that's going on. And just in a two-week period last year, it might have been a week period, but at least a two-week period, there were 22 churches planted in the Middle East. Places like Iraq, Pakistan, all these places where C3 is invading. Those places aren't open to Christianity, in case you didn't know that. But we're going in into enemy territory, and we're, you know, advancing the kingdom. So it's pretty exciting, you know, what we get to be a part of, this movement that's literally going into all the parts of the earth. And I also want you to know that you guys are famous. C3 San Diego is famous all over the world for the kind of church that we have and the kind of leaders that we develop, and people all over the world, all this different C3s and other churches that are kind of friends of C3 are looking to us as kind of like a flagship church, because you know, we were told over and over again that we're the most influential church in the C3 movement of 522 churches, and so it's pretty exciting. You should be proud of yourselves. So, you know, everybody's coming to our team and asking, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that? You know, what do we do with this? What do we do with that? And so it's pretty cool to be able to share and also glean from them, because there are a lot of phenomenal churches in the movement. And in fact, we got to preach at a couple of different C3 churches. My wife preached at a church in Sydney, a C3 church in Sydney, Australia. And then I got to go up to the Sunshine Coast, which I'd never been before. Beautiful place. I mean, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And I got to preach at John and Danielle Pierce's church, which is, they're the C3 oversights for Australia, which is kind of like Jürgen and Leanne are the C3 oversights for America. So our pastors are pretty cool. And then John and Danielle are over Australia. And what I thought was awesome about it was I walked in, and from the beginning, I felt at home. The spirit in the place, the people, the hospitality, the friendliness. And so it's just neat to see that this culture is, you know, going all over the world, and people are getting healed, set free, just like they are here, saved every single week, and church is roaring. And in fact, their 8:30 service is their biggest service. It's the Sunshine Coast thing. Everybody shuts down early at like 9, and then they wake up super early. So I would get up because I couldn't sleep because I'm all jacked up on time. So I'd be up at like, you know, 3:30 and wondering what I do. So I finally get up at like 5 or 5:30, go outside, and the beach is jammed. It's buzzing. People are driving around doing yoga and all kinds of weird stuff on the beach. And so I don't know, it was just fun. But it's great to be back to the greatest church on the planet, the greatest people, the best-looking people. But you can be seated. Just punch your neighbor real quick. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You guys were phenomenal. Phenomenal. We have the best worship team, too. Yvette, you all know Yvette. She was on the main stage at Presence Conference, and she actually did the opener on Friday night, which is like the night at Presence, the last night of the conference. And she alone was, you know, on the stage in front of 7,000 people or however many people doing the opener. Your name is beautiful, or whatever that song is. Beautiful name. Beautiful name. And his name, I'm not really a singer. As the whole first and second row would hear and know. But anyway, that's pretty cool that, you know, she was representing. And so, fun stuff. Hey, we're in a series called Accelerate. And because we believe that God wants to accelerate your life. And today I want to talk to you on that topic, because I believe that the nature of the kingdom is increase. And the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is within you, which means your nature is increase. God wants to take you to a higher place. The Bible says that the increase of the government of Jesus and the peace, there will be no end. And that the government will be upon his shoulder. It's interesting to note that Jesus is the head of the church and we are the body. So if his increase of the government is without end and the increase sits on his shoulder, you and I are his shoulder. Could be argued that we are the ones carrying the weight of the increase of the government of Jesus, which is pretty powerful. He's the head of the church. We're the body. The way of the righteous winds upward. I believe God wants to take you higher. Paul said, the one thing that I do is I forget those things that are behind me and I press forward towards the goal for the prize of the upward call. There's an upward call that God has for you. There's an assignment that's going to take you higher in this life. So we want to talk about how do we get there? The title of this message is Ascension. Ascension. How do we climb? How do we go to the next level? In fact, how do we skip levels? Because kingdom people skip levels. We don't have to go step by step. We can actually skip levels. I was going to name this Skipping Levels, but I decided to name it Ascension. But anyway, Ascension is the act of rising to an important position or a higher level. God wants us to ascend. And it was interesting that when I looked up the definition of ascension, the example was Jesus ascended to heaven on the 40th day after the resurrection, which is kind of cool. Jesus is making his way throughout Google. It's kind of cool. Just a little free fact for you. And so I want to talk to you about three ways. There's a lot of ways, but three ways that we can ascend to the next level or how we can ascend to skipping levels. The first one is stewardship. Stewardship or faithfulness would be another word for stewardship. And if there's one thing that I can encourage you and guarantee that your life will increase is if you are a good steward of where God has you right now. The key to increase in the kingdom is taking care of whatever God has given you right now. Whatever is in your hands right now, can you take care of that? Because if he can trust you with that, he can trust you with more. So we're going to talk about stewardship this morning. There is a parable in the Bible, Luke 19, 13 to 27, that talks about stewardship. And the first way, God rewards stewardship or faithfulness in two different ways. The first way is he gives you more responsibility and authority. So, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. I'm going to give you more. So there's never like unemployment in the kingdom. We'll always have a job. There's always going to be stuff for us to do. God never runs out of responsibility because there is a world that is lost. Luke 19, 13 to 27, so it says, this is a parable, and he says, so he called 10 of his servants, delivered them 10 minas, or minas. It's just a sum of money. And he said to them, do business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given money to be called to him, that he might show them how much every man had gained by trading. God wants you to gain things. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to gain. Then came the first saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Because you are faithful with 10 minas, have authority over 10 cities. God wants to give you more responsibility. He wants to give you more authority. That is the reward of stewardship. And the second came saying, master, your mina earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. And so your reward is related to your level of stewardship. The first one had 10 cities. Second one had 5 cities. So we can actually kind of predict or have a say in the future of our reward if we're stewards. Then another came saying, master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared because you are an austere man. This was his perception of who God is. Austere means like severely strict. Because you are an austere man, you collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow, which, by the way, is how kingdom people live. We get to reap stuff we didn't sow. We get to collect things we didn't deposit because we're kingdom people living under an open heaven and we have favor on our lives. God says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. Now he's talking to the person that didn't gain anything, that didn't reproduce, that didn't bear fruit. He's calling him wicked. You wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he already has 10 minas. For I say to you that everyone who has, or that who has increased, is what has means. Everyone who has increased will be given. And from him who does not have or did not increase, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. Slay all day. It's actually, you thought it was like originated in 2018. Slay was originated in the Bible. Slay all day. Kind of means something different. But anyways, what he's saying is that if you increase, if you are a good steward, if you are fruitful, he's going to give you more. He's going to give you more authority. He's going to give you more responsibility. And he's going to take from those who didn't increase and give it to you because he can trust you. It's all about trusting you. Stewardship is about trusting you with what you have in your hand so that he can give you more. Before I got into ministry, and right after I was done playing baseball, I got kind of my first real job, which was in commercial real estate. Before that, I just had like side jobs, worked for people or whatever. I did have a job that I worked for a company. I used to work for the zoo for a summer. When I was in college, I was the lion that walked around and took pictures with your kids. I was. It was powerful. I would stand there, and you don't realize this, but you have a mask on. You know, you have the lion outfit on. It's like 120 degrees in there. And you're, you know, taking pictures with kids, and you're smiling inside the thing like they can see you. You know what I mean? You know that? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Were you Chuck E. Cheese or something? No? Oh. Okay. Oh, kids' parties. There you go. So you're smiling. You got a mask on. It's kind of weird. You're like, what am I doing? But anyway, so I worked for the zoo. But my first kind of real job was commercial real estate. And I worked for a guy in commercial real estate. We sold shopping centers and things like that. And I was making $1,000 a month living with my mom and dad at home. And my job was basically I showed up and I was working for a pretty high producer at the time. And when I showed up, he gave me a booklet that was about yay thick. He had just bought a brand new database to keep track of all the different properties in San Diego County. And he handed me the book on day one and said, teach me how to use this. Mind you, this is my first job. Like, I don't even know. I didn't know how to do printing. I didn't know how to do any of that stuff. I knew how to hit the ball, you know, and throw the ball home. And so I'm doing this job. So, it was tough. And it wasn't fun. I'd go to work at 8, and I'd leave at 5, and I'd drive about 45 minutes to Grossmont College and finish college from 6 to 9. So, I was going pretty hard. But I was faithful with what he had given me. And I built that whole database, taught him how to use it, took pictures of all these properties all over San Diego County, put them in there, and basically helped him build his business. That year, he made more money than he'd ever made before. So our little team made more money than he'd ever made before. And I'm talking like over $500,000 kind of money, like a lot of money. And so that was pretty cool. Why that's significant is because about 18 months later or less, maybe 12 months later actually, he came to me and said he had an opportunity to buy a property management company that manages over 1,000 units all over San Diego County. And he said, the only person I would trust to be my partner is you. And he pointed to me. Now, I wasn't trained for this. I had never been trained or I'd never been taught in property management or anything like that. But because I was faithful with what he had given me, it caused him to give me authority and responsibility over more. So I was making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars before the age of 30, not because I was trained to do it, but because kingdom people ascend. I didn't go to the next level. I skipped levels because of stewardship. That's the only reason. It's the only reason. And so we were able to, you know, do pretty well. When I got to this church 12 years ago, the first job that I had was I was a parking guy on the parking team. And, man, I waved those wands like nobody's business. We had walkie-talkies, and we'd talk trash to each other. You know, like when you're pointing someone to go somewhere, and they just drive right by you. You know, and we'd be like, you have no authority. You know, they drove right by you. So we'd just talk trash to each other, and we had code names, and, you know, it was fun. I got to meet everybody that came into the church. It was a lot, you know, a lot smaller than we only had one parking lot. And but it was a great job, but I was faithful with what they had given me. And so what they do, they gave me to started leading the parking team. So I started leading the parking team. And so I was faithful with that. I was a good steward of that. And then they gave us, my wife and I, authority over all first impressions. There was about like 70-something volunteers. The church was only maybe a few hundred people. And so, you know, I just kept being faithful. And now I've been given a responsibility over quite a bit. But it wasn't because I was trained in ministry. It was because I was faithful with what God had given me. I was just a good steward of what God has given me. God wants to take you past the next level. He wants you to skip levels. He wants you to ascend, but it all comes down to stewardship. The second way God will reward stewardship is by pruning, which is not as sexy as, you know, increase or multiplication. Pruning. He wants to prune people that are fruitful. John 15:1-5 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Congratulations, you've produced fruit. Now I'm going to prune you, that it may bear more fruit. So there's a purpose. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And so what God is saying is if he finds people, if he finds the saints, if he finds kingdom people that are bearing fruit, he wants to go prune you and cut away all of the bad stuff so that you can produce more fruit. So when you start to go through a pruning process, count it as, you know, a congratulations from God that you're being pruning. But a lot of us don't like the pruning process. Here's what the pruning process is. It's when fruit-bearing trees to control growth. So God wants to control our growth in a sense because he doesn't want to give us more than we can handle, because if he gives you more than you can handle, it will break you. He's into longevity. So fruit-bearing trees to control growth, remove dead or diseased wood. There may be some things in your life that is dead or diseased that he needs to get out of you, like stinking thinking, poverty mindset, insecurities. He might need to get some stuff off of you and stimulate the formation of flowers and fruit buds. Pruning often means cutting branches back, sometimes removing smaller limbs entirely. There may be some things growing out of you that is distracting you from your assignment in heaven, and God needs to cut that stuff off so that he can take you further. Careful attention to pruning and training young trees affects their later productivity and longevity. Good pruning and training can also prevent later injury from weak crotches that break from the weight of fruit, snow, or ice on branches. A crotch is where the tree trunk splits into two more branches, just in case some of you are going down a different road when I said that. So God wants to find out the people who are producing fruit so he can prune you, because he's into longevity. And so when he prunes you, it gives you the strength to handle more weight, because he's looking for people who can put weight on. He's looking for people he can give responsibility to. He's looking for people that can advance the kingdom. He wants to give you weight. He wants to give you responsibility, but he needs to prune you so that you can go to the next level. But what happens is we start the pruning process and it kind of hurts. We kind of like that death and diseased wood. We kind of like those little limbs because it's kind of our thing. But God wants to cut them off. And so we leave the process of pruning. And when we leave the process, we nullify the progress. And so now we stay at that level or go back a level because we leave too early. Just stay at the party. Just stay in the process and let God prune, because he's into long-term stability, long-term longevity in your life. So consider it a compliment. The disciples were in the upper room. And your increase or your ascension may not come quickly, but it will come suddenly. It will come suddenly. God takes a long time to move suddenly. So the disciples are in the upper room. God says, he finds some people that he likes, and he says, hey, go and make disciples over all these nations. But he says, before you go, go into Jerusalem, into the upper room, until you receive power. And so these 500 disciples go into this upper room. We were there in Israel in November. It's not that big of a place, the area where they were in the upper room. Go into the upper room until you receive power. Now, if I was them, I'd be like day one thinking, okay, power, I'm ready. I'm ready to go change the world. But power didn't come till day 10. So day one, there's 500 people. Day two, they're still waiting for power, wondering, is this really what God wanted us to do? Are we really in the will of God? It's day two. Now it's day three. It's starting to stink in there. There's 500 people. There's no showers. There's probably no toothpaste. So, there, you know, breath is kicking like Jackie Chan in that place. B.O. everywhere. People are probably fighting. Now it's day four. God, did we really hear from God? We still haven't received power. Now there's people starting to leave. Out of the 500 disciples, there's people starting to leave. Now it's day five. Now it's day six. Now it's day seven. Gosh, more people are leaving the pruning process. God had to get that thinking out of people. He wanted to know, are their hearts really loyal to me, or do they just want the stage? Do they have an agenda, or are their hearts loyal to me? I might need to cut some stuff off. There's some diseased woods that I need to get out of the way so I can give them power, because the Bible says those whose hearts are loyal to him, he'll show himself strong. He's looking for hearts that are loyal. There's still some people that need to be pruned. Are they willing to stay in the process? So day eight, day nine. Think about the people that left day nine. They're in the upper room for 9 days. Then they're like, oh man, we must not be in the process, in the will of God. So they leave and they miss out on the realization of Joel 2:29 that says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So they leave and they nullify the progress because they left the process. We need to be people that are strong, knowing that God has our best in mind, knowing that he has long-term longevity in mind, not just short-term gratification. So God wants you to be in it for the long haul. 380 disciples end up leaving, and only 120 end up getting filled with power on the day of Pentecost. And all those people just started skipping levels. All those people that stayed till the end just started skipping levels. So stewardship is very important. If you don't hear anything else, stewardship, stewardship, stewardship. Number two, lose your life. We got to be willing to lose our life. Matthew 16:24-26 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, take up his assignment, take up his burden, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man that if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So what God is saying is he wants people to be able to lose their life and take up their life in Christ. He wants you to deny yourself, take up your cross or your assignment, and not use your gift, your assignment, your call for your good, but deny yourself and follow him with your burden, follow him with your assignment. We need to be willing to lose our life, to lose our agenda, to lose our desires, to lose our will, and let God fill those gaps. Let God put his will and his desires and his agenda in us. That is the best way that we can possibly live. Now, before I met my beautiful bride, I actually dated another girl. So I'm confessing to my wife now in front of you all so I can't get in trouble. Which isn't really good speaking advice. We can fight on stage because, you know, she can't get back at me. But I dated this other girl, and I knew that she wasn't right for me. I knew in my heart that she wasn't right for me. In fact, I was praying for Becky when I was dating this girl. I didn't know Becky yet, but I was praying for a woman just like her. And so I knew it wasn't right. And so one day we went out, and I knew it wasn't right. I knew we had to probably end this thing. But there was still something in me that didn't want to let go. I don't know if it was fear to be alone or, you know, insecurity or fear that I wouldn't find somebody else or whatever. But I didn't really want to let it go. And we're sitting at dinner one night, and we're talking, and we were kind of like on the rocks. And she made this statement. She said that she wasn't willing to give up her life for God. She liked the stuff that she was doing. She didn't want to lay that down for God. And I wasn't necessarily living like a Christian at the time totally, but I still feared God enough to kind of slide away in case you got struck by lightning. I didn't want to be a casualty of her statement. Like, even if I thought that, I would never say it out loud, you know? And so, but even after she said that, I'm like, okay, God, I know it's probably not right, but I still have this desire. And I said, but I'm going to leave it up to you. Like, if you want it to happen, awesome, I'll do it. But if you don't want it to happen, please close the door. So I lost my life. I lost my agenda and my will, and I gave it over to God. And 2 weeks later, wouldn't you know it, she had another boyfriend already, and, you know, she was on her way to getting married. And so I was like, I guess the door shut. Thank you, Jesus, because I met my wife, and I skipped levels. I skipped levels when I met my beautiful wife. I don't know where I would be had I made my own decision, because my own will was stay. I was scared to be by myself for whatever reason, but thank God I lost my life. I lost my desire, and I let God choose for me. Matthew 13:22 talks about the cares of this world. And it's a parable of the sower. You know this story possibly where, you know, the seed is sown and some fall by the wayside and they get snatched up. Some go in stony places and the seed drops in stony places. It immediately comes up, but because it has no root system, it burns up. Some fall by thorny places and some falls on good soil. And that's the word of God landing on good soil in our hearts. But I want to talk to you about the thorns. Verse 13:22 in Matthew says, "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word of God, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So we live in a world that is busy. We live in a world where there is a lot of people wanting our attention, a lot of people casting their cares on us. There's a lot of things to worry about. There's a lot of stress, especially in America. We have to keep up with the Joneses. And the Bible says that the cares of this world will choke the word of God and cause you to be unfruitful. If you are unfruitful, God can't add to you. So we need to not let the cares of this world rob us and distract us from the word of God, because the word of God will become null and void in our lives if we're distracted by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world will scream at you during the offering messages. It will be so loud because this is your money. If you give this money, you can't pay for this or you can't pay for that. You've worked hard for this stuff. This is your stuff. It will scream at you and it will get so loud that you begin to focus on that stuff, and the power of the word of God becomes null and void, causing you to become unfruitful. The cares of this world are powerful and they will take you out, but there's so much stress, there's so much distraction, we get so overwhelmed, begin to focus on the mountain of the problem, not the mustard seed of faith. So we come down into the natural realm. We descend into the natural realm, and so this is the place we're meant to ascend into the supernatural world, where we're supposed to go fight battles in the supernatural so that we can win in the natural. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, it says to cast our cares on the Lord. It says this, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you," that he may exalt you. We don't need to exalt ourselves. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When you are ready, remember, he's going to control the growth, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. So by humbling ourselves before God and telling God, "God, we can't handle all this stuff. There's a lot of stress, distraction, cares. God, I'm going to humble myself, cast my cares on you because you care for me. You can handle this stuff. You can handle the weight of this world. I can't." If you don't humble yourself before him and say, "God, I'm going to cast my cares on you," you become vulnerable to the enemy. You become vulnerable to enemy attack. The very next verse says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So we get so intoxicated with the cares of this world, it allows us to be vulnerable. We can't be sober, we can't be vigilant. So now we have an opening for the devil to come in and rob from our lives. We have to be people that are willing to cast our cares. We can't get overwhelmed by the cares of this world. We have to lean into God and allow him to set us free. We have to lose our life, lose our agenda. It's also a form of warfare when you are willing to lose your life. Revelation 12:11, it says, "And they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives till the death." We often talk about the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, but these people did not love their life until the end of death. So they were willing to lose their life to pick up the burden and the cross of Christ and go in that way. And because they did that, they were engaging in warfare and overcoming the devil. When you put yourself, when you are willing to lose your life, you become very dangerous in the kingdom of heaven. Because now what can the devil do to you? You're willing to lose your life. "Devil, you can't tempt me. You can't stress me out. You can't put cares on me that are going to take me out. I'm willing to lose everything for Jesus Christ." Are we willing to put all the chips on the line? Because when you're willing to lose your life, you put yourself in a position to win. When you push all of your chips onto the table. And perhaps the greatest example of this would be Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This was a pivotal moment in his life. All of the prophetic words that were spoken from the prophets throughout history, echoing through time, had descended on this moment, descended on Jesus. Would he choose his will, which at the time was, "Take this cup from me, Lord"? Or would he choose God's will? Would he choose his life or would he choose your life? Jesus was able to choose your life and not his life. He was willing to lose his life for your sake so that you and I can now find it. He made that decision thousands of years ago in the garden. Are we willing to choose his life and not our life? Are we willing to deny ourselves and pick up the cross? Because that is the key to winning, is being willing to lose everything. Number three, encounter. We need to be putting ourselves in a position to encounter God. One encounter with God can catapult your life. It can set you on a new path. It could change your future. And I've been praying this week that now is the future, that today is the beginning of your future, that one encounter today can change everything. It can put you on a different trajectory in your life if we are willing to encounter him. Are we willing to open up to what God has to say for our life? And it may have not happened quickly, but it could happen suddenly, and it can happen today. Moses was a murderer, in case you've forgotten. He was in the wilderness for 40 years. He killed an Egyptian. He's in the wilderness for 40 years thinking he's maybe just going to be a sheep herder or whatever he was doing, until he had an encounter with God in a burning bush. And God said, no, you're not a murderer, Moses. You are a deliverer. You're going to go to Pharaoh. You're going to say, let my people go. And you're going to deliver a million Israelites out of the hands of Egypt. One encounter with God in a burning bush. David was tending sheep. He was tending a few sheep. He was killing lions and bears. He was being faithful in what God had given him to that point. He was just tending sheep. He thought he was going to be a sheep tender, until he had an encounter with God through the prophet Samuel, who anointed him king of Israel. It was one encounter because of his faithfulness that now he was elevated to a king. He still had to go into the valley and fight a giant, but then he ascended out of that valley as king of Israel. He skipped levels. Saul was killing Christians. He was persecuting the church in the New Testament. He thought that was his assignment. But then he encountered God one day on the road to Damascus. The light shone around him. He fell down, and the presence of God came and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You're not called to persecute the church. You're called to build the church. Your name is no longer Saul. It is Paul. And completely changed the trajectory of his life because of an encounter with God. And he became the most prolific New Testament writer. Paul, after he became Saul, after one encounter with Jesus. The reason Becky and I are in our house right now is because we had an encounter with God through the prophet Mike Maiden on January 1st of this year. It took a long time for us to get to that point, but everything changed with one encounter. And within 2 months, we found the house that we're now living in. Why? Because we had an encounter with God. When someone prophesies over your life, that is an encounter with God. It is a word coming straight from heaven out of their mouth into your life. And if you can receive it, your life can be changed just like that. Peter, in the New Testament, name was Simon. He'd been hanging out with Jesus. He'd been with Jesus. He'd seen miracles. He'd even been empowered in Matthew 10 to do miracles. I want to invite the team up, by the way, worship team. He'd even been empowered to do miracles in the New Testament, but he'd actually never encountered Jesus, the Messiah. He'd hung out with Jesus, but he'd never encountered the Messiah until Matthew 16, 13 to 19. And Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, who do they say that I am? He's asking the disciples, who do the people out there say that I am? And they said, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had been with Jesus, but now he was finally authentically encountering the Messiah. So Jesus could now tell him, Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven had revealed this to you. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Peter finally authentically encountered the Messiah. He finally saw who Jesus really was, and because he saw who Jesus really was on an encounter with him, Jesus was able to tell him who he really was. Talk about skipping levels. He went from Simon the reed fisherman to Peter the rock, future owner of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Just like that. He skipped levels because of one encounter. The key to your life ascending is being able to encounter the one true God, Jesus Christ, the living Messiah. If you can truly encounter him and truly see him for who he is, I'm telling you, you will truly be able to see who you really are. Because the Bible says, as he is, so are you in this world. So if you can see him for who he is, guess who you're going to be in this world? You're going to be just like him. But you got to encounter Jesus. You got to encounter Jesus. Be willing to encounter him, the true Messiah. The disciples in the upper room encountered God. I already kind of mentioned the day of Pentecost, but they were all with one accord in unity, and the Spirit of God came in. There came a sound like a rushing mighty wind. The Spirit of God came in, filled that room, and filled them with power. And they began to speak a language that God never taught them, but it was a language that the world could understand. And then Peter steps out and preaches a message he never prepared for, and 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ on day one. Talk about skipping levels. Talk about ascension. So when the Spirit of God comes on you, when you encounter the Holy Spirit, he can give you ideas. He can give you creativity. He can give you inventions that you've never learned before, but that the world understands and that the world craves and wants. I'm believing that today, that when we pray, God is going to speak to some people, and God is going to encounter some people in their minds, give them ideas that they've never learned, so that they can communicate with a world that is hungry to hear what they have to say, that is hungry to buy whatever product it is that they're going to invent. I'm believing that there's going to be some people here who are going to hear from God and disrupt their worlds today. Because God wants you to ascend. God wants you to ascend. There are some people that have been going through some stuff. Maybe you feel like you're in the pruning process. Stay in the process. Stay in the process. Stay in the process, because God is not interested in your immediate gratification. He's interested in your longevity. He's interested in his ability to put weight on you to carry his power. I'd love it if everybody would just close their eyes and bow their head. The key to ascension is truly encountering Jesus, the Messiah, the one who died on a cross for you. There might be some people here who have never encountered him. There might be some people here who have never asked Jesus into their world and submitted themselves to Christ. John 15 says, without him, you can do nothing. Nothing for him. You've been wondering, what's your assignment? How do I step into what God has called me to do? And maybe you've never met God, but you just have that feeling. But today is your day. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. I want to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your world. And when you do that, friend, I'm telling you, you're going to start to realize who you were created to be. Maybe there's some people here who have given their lives to Christ previously, but have kind of taken their life back, and the cares of this world has robbed them and caused them to be unfruitful. But now they're saying, you know what? I want to be back with Jesus. I want to submit to God again. If you're one of those two people with every eye closed and head bowed, could you just lift your hand right where you are right now so that I can pray with you? Is there anybody like that in here today? Lift your hand right where you are. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand to my left. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand to my left. Thank you. I see that hand to my right. Thank you. Once I see your hand, you can put it down. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Let me pray for you today. Come on. This is the key to ascension. It's encountering the Messiah. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. You're going to get more. Amen. I see that hand right here in the middle. Come on. God is moving across this place. I see that hand over here to my right. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Thank you to my left. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand, sir, in the back. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand kind of in the middle in the back to my left. Thank you. God bless you. Who else is there? It's already been 10 to 15 people. Thank you. I see that hand in the very back. Thank you, man. Come on, we're going to pray and believe God. Amen. Amen. You can look up here. There was about 15 people that lifted their hand, and I'm not able to kind of get out to you. So what I'd love you to do is to come down here with me so that I can pray for you like I said I would. And I'm going to have the whole congregation stand to their feet. We're all going to clap and cheer. Most of us have made this journey, this walk. But I want you to come down in front. I'm going to get off the stage and let's pray together. Come on, the band's going to sing a song. Come on, let's give it up for all these people. Amen. Why don't we give it up for all these awesome people? That's not just a message. That is words from heaven that will change your life. And when God comes into your world, maybe for the first time or maybe again, I'm telling you, something's going to happen. You're going to start to ascend. So why don't we all pray this prayer? You guys just repeat after me. The whole building is going to repeat after me. And let's just believe God together. Just say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, today I invite you into my life and I ask that you would cause me to ascend, that you would cause me to skip levels, that you would tell me who I am. I declare today that I am saved, that heaven is my home, and that God is my Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. So proud of all of you for making that walk. We have a response lounge right here. We have some of the best people in our church right behind you. We want to give you a book called Following Jesus. It'll just help you on your journey. And we also have a Bible for you. So could you do this just for 2 minutes? Turn to your right, my left, and just follow these people into that response lounge. Let us take care of you. Let us talk to you about this decision that you've made. God bless you. Bring it right back out. Come on, let's cheer them on as they go. Amen. Incredible. 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 Why don't we just lift our hands? Come on, God is still here. God is moving. I just want to pray for you today. I just see this gentleman right here in the second row next to the girl with the jean jacket with your head down. This guy, I like this guy. I just feel that the hand of God is on you. You're standing out to me like a sore thumb in a good way. But the hand of God is on you, sir. God is going to take you up. You are marked by him. He's going to take you to levels you've never dreamed of. And it's because you've got a prayer in your heart that you want to do something big for God. I'm not sure if you were confused about where it was, but God is saying he's got you. You've been faithful. Keep being a great steward, and you're going to find yourself skipping levels. You're going to find yourself ascending to new heights. And is that's your bride on the side of you, your girlfriend? Girlfriend? Soon-to-be bride? Maybe? I mean, we can do it right now. I am ordained as a pastor. But God has got his hand on you too, man. It's not a him thing, it's a you guys thing. And whether you end up together or apart, I'm telling you, God is on both of you, and you've both been standing out. God is taking you to new levels. You've been good stewards. You've been faithful. God is taking you to the next level. Father, I thank you for this great couple. I pray that the hand of God would be upon them, would lift them to new heights. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to them, that they would encounter you even tonight as they sleep, that you would give them visions and dreams, that you would bring supernatural relationships into their world. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for this great couple. Amen. 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 Sir, right there in the yellow shirt with the coffee, you're a man of God. You're drinking coffee. The hand of God is on you, sir. The hand of God is on you. Just turn your palms towards heaven. Father, I thank you for this man. Lord, I thank you that you're taking him to another level. I see you being a great father. I see you loving kids. I see you loving people. I see you bringing people up with you. I don't see this as being an ascension for just you. I see you bringing people with you. And I see that people are attracted to you, that they like you, that you're a good man, and that you're somebody that they can look up to. So, Father, I thank you that you are bringing an ascension anointing upon this man, that you are taking him up. I see success in business. I see success with people. I ask for divine relationships, Father. I thank you that the power of God is on him. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just turn your palms towards heaven. Let God speak to you. Let God speak to you. There's words. I just feel like there's words flying around this auditorium right now. It's landing on hearts. It's landing on hearts. It's landing on minds. People are being open to the supernatural. People are being open to letting God astonish them in their life. Holy Spirit, speak. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 My man who goes to the kids' parties, God is on you, sir. Father, I thank you for this man of God. I see you in the quiet places praying prayers that are astonishing. Most people wouldn't even attempt to pray the prayers that you've been praying, but God has heard your call. Whether they've been in secret, in your heart, or whether you've declared them out loud, God sees, God hears, and God rewards openly those who cry out secretly. So, Father, I thank you that you are bringing this man of God up levels. Lord, that the favor of God is on him. Lord, that you feed the hungry, and he is a hungry, hungry man, hungry for more of you, hungry for the word of God. Father, I pray that you would open his eyes, that you would bring opportunities. I see opportunities coming that you get to choose from, more than one. So, Father, I thank you for discernment, Lord, that as these opportunities come, and maybe they've already come, that as they come, Father, that you would give him discernment on which one to choose, which one to pick, which one has you on it. So, Father, I thank you for the hand of God on this mighty man, in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, lift your hands. Father, I thank you right now for the power of God. Lord, that you are speaking to people. Holy Spirit, I pray we give you free reign in our world today to speak to us, to give us ideas, to give us inventions. Allow us to disrupt our worlds. Father, I thank you that you're taking us up, that you're taking us past the next level, that we're skipping levels. Father, I thank you for the favor of God on each and every person. Lord, I thank you that you're speaking to each and every person, and that one encounter with the true Messiah can change everything. I see new trajectories happening in this congregation in Jesus' name. I see people, I see kids coming back to Christ. I see family members coming back together. I see unity. I see favor. Wherever there is unity, God commands a blessing. I release the blessing of God over families today, over kids today, in Jesus' name. And Father, I see increase in businesses, increase in generosity, increase, Father, where there's divine relationships and business partners coming together, seed money being revealed to people that are looking to start companies, Father. I thank you that there is favor on marketplace people in this house, and I release prosperity in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Come on, if you believe it, give God some praise.
thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.